Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Lemon Tree Hotels Limited earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Anoop Poojari from CDR India. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Lemon Tree Hotels Q1 FY22 earnings conference call. We have with us today Mr. Patanjali Keswani, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Ratan Keswani, Deputy Managing Director, Mr. Kapil Sharma, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Vikramjeet Singh, President of the company. We would like to begin the call with opening remarks from the management, following which we'll have the forum open for an interactive question and answer session. Before we start, I would like to point out that some statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the results presentation shared with you earlier. I would now request Mr. Keswani to make his opening remarks.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining on this call. I hope you and your families are all doing well and staying safe. I'll be covering the quarterly business highlights and the financial performance for the quarter ended June 30th, 21, with some comments about what's happening in this coming quarter, post which we can open the forum for your questions and suggestions. So the new fiscal year started amidst a very, very challenging operating environment due to lockdowns and restrictions on account of the second wave. These disruptions, of course, particularly impacted the domestic hospitality and tourism sector. And as the cases started increasing, we saw a decline in occupancy levels in April versus March, followed by, of course, May and June. Travel restrictions also had a very severe impact on our operations. On a brighter note, as restrictions started easing and COVID-19 cases started decreasing in June, we saw a very fast recovery. Given our learnings from the past year, our operating inventory was maintained in anticipation of a quick recovery post-easing of curbs. Accordingly, our operating inventory stood at about 88% of our total inventory against 71.5% in Q1 the previous year. Overall, our revenues increased by 3.7% year-on-year with a 10% decline in ADR. Occupancy levels on full inventory improved by 73 BPS. Our current operational inventory as of 30th June 2021 comprises of 84 hotels and 8,300 rooms, out of which 4,517 are owned, 675 leased, and 3,117 are managed. On the profitability front, I'm happy to inform you that we managed to stay EBITDA positive by 2 crores in Q1 FY22 with an EBITDA margin of 4.6%. As we had maintained our operating inventory levels in anticipation of a much faster recovery, unlike in Q1 the previous year, our costs increased by 16.3% year-on-year, but decreased by 36.5% based on the preceding quarter. However, we believe as occupancy levels improve, this should normalize in the quarters ahead. Further on the debt side, we have successfully lowered our average cost of borrowings by an additional 15 bips from 8.3% in Q4 FY21 to 8.15% in Q1 this year. Structurally, there has been a big shift in our operating model, and we now operate a much leaner structure with more focus on optimizing and, in fact, minimizing fixed costs, enhancing efficiencies, and streamlining our business processes. Being best in class in ESG is one of our key strategic priorities. We will be releasing our first sustainability report very soon in the next 2 months, which will disclose our performance on key parameters, new initiatives, and our further roadmap, future roadmap. In sync with this approach, in this quarter, we have also signed an MOU with Energy Efficiency Services Limited, a joint venture under the Ministry of Power. This is one of the steps that we are undertaking towards being a more green and energy efficient organization. From a macro environment standpoint, given that there are concerns of a potential third wave of COVID in the country, we are undertaking various proactive steps to ensure business continuity and stability in cash flows. Currently, we are seeing an extremely healthy build-up in demand and consumption that is strengthening on a week-by-week basis from June onwards. In addition, improving macros give better vaccination. Given the better vaccination coverage and improving economic indicators should support this traction. Overall, in a normalized macro environment, we are very confident of reporting robust and sustainable performance in the quarters ahead. Thank you.
Sir, can we open the call for a Q&A session now? Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nihal Jham from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good evening and thank you so much. Sir, the first set of question was around understanding the performance better this quarter. When I compare our performance to the same quarter last year, which mainly included ECP and quarantine business, compared to that, any specific reason for the rates being lower? And related to the same, there is a divergence in the performance if I look at our brands, or I mean Lemon Tree brand versus the recent acquisition of Peet. Between the Lemon Tree and Peet brand. So if you could just give some more clarity on that, and I'll take the remaining question off.
Okay, so last year out of 1,500 rooms that we did, more than 80 or perhaps 90%, I don't remember offhand, were what we would call not traditional business. That is not the normal hotel business. This was Vande Bharat, this was healthcare professionals, this was business continuity planning, block bookings by large IT corporate IT companies who wanted to have 24/7 operations. So these groups of businesses occupied a lot of our rooms, and these were typically at a higher rate and also with far fewer services. For example, the quarantine business that we had required no change of linen, very basic menus. People were staying 14 days in the room. So the cost structure was lower, labor requirement was lower, and the demand was very high. This year in Q1, besides the fact that we had far more rooms open, for example, in Q1 this year, we had a far larger number of operating rooms than we had in the previous year. And that too, we did not have any of the non-traditional sources of business, which is quarantine or Vande Bharat or, healthcare professionals. As I think each of us experienced ourselves, there was a total sense of fear in among travelers. So there was no traditional or non-traditional travel. In fact, what we discovered was that from about the middle of April to the middle of June, we did extremely low occupancies, and that too at very low rates, which is why you will see a drop in our average rate and a huge drop in our occupancies from, definitely in May, which is the lowest we've ever seen, 20%, and also in terms of the rates that we got, because these were all retail travelers and, every hotel had dropped its prices by 50, 60, all kinds of discounts were being offered to get some of this business. So that's the backdrop. But the good news is that somewhere around middle of June, this completely changed. And I myself, I'm at a loss to understand how and why this disappeared. And so really, when you see Q1, think of it as two parts. First 15 days of April and last 15 days of June, and the 2 months in between, which were essentially lost.
That's helpful. And, just related to that, as you're saying that June is obviously seeing quite a surge in demand. So what's the nature of this demand that you are seeing, which is different from Q1 quarter?
So for the first time, we are seeing our traditional segments really jump up. For example, our retail segment today, which is typically 40% of our business on full occupancy, is now 50%. Small, medium, micro enterprises have improved further, and large corporates have also, we see green shoots.
So if you ask me very broadly, what I am seeing happen is, for example, Q2 is now become like Q4 last year. So there is no Q2, Q3. We've gone straight to over a crore of rupees a day income from less than 50 lakhs in Q1. So our income has doubled. It's a very sharp V recovery. So for example, already in quarter to date, we are ahead of Q1 income. In less than half the quarter, we are ahead of Q1. We are also double of Q2 month to quarter to date. What I'm seeing is an increase in occupancy by over 70% in this quarter, an increase in average rate of about 20%. So it's an amazing turnaround. And assuming that the third wave is not going to be very severe, that it will be, you know, mild to moderate, we think that we are in fact quite confident that we will, you know, like we did in Q4 last year, we will do as well this Q2. Q3 will be good. It will be close to 70-75% of pre-COVID. And we are very sure if that happens, then Q4 will be, we will be back to pre-COVID.
That's very helpful, Keswani. So just two more questions very quickly. That our FPAR is obviously down on a YY basis, but our revenues have increased. So is it because of more F&B income because of the normalized business that we had this quarter?
That's right. Absolutely correct. See, think of it this way. I think, you know, what, see, please understand in Lemon Tree, unlike all the other hotel companies, we operationalized an enormous amount of capital in the 12 months before COVID. Roughly 2,000 crores worth of assets were operationalized. 600 crores of keys, which we had no time to stabilize because we acquired it in November and, you know, COVID hit us by March. And then five very large high-value hotels, which together accounted for another 1,100 crores, were opened in those 12 months before. But if you look at these hotels, they had started stabilizing in January and February pre-COVID. So at that point, our income per room, and I'm giving you a broad number, was about 4,500 rupees per room per day, which means with 5,200 rooms, we were doing, you know, close to 2.5 crores per day. That was our revenue. And then, of course, COVID hit and all these numbers went out of the window. But what we see happen now is that post-COVID, we have achieved a very large amount of savings, permanent savings, which would be in the tune of 80 to 90 crores a year. So our new CapEx, so if I look at Lemon Tree, our CapEx is about now on an operating basis about 200 crores a year. If I include corporate expenses and interest, it comes to about 410 crores. And if I add lease rentals and repayments, because I'm looking at cash, then I cash break even including repayments at roughly 540 crores a year, or about a crore and a half a day, or per room per day, 2,900 rupees. So at 2,900 rupees, Lemon Tree is cash break even, including repayment of principal. If I look at it from accounting standards 116, because I have to then account for lease rentals, depreciation and interest, my break even then becomes for a PBT 570 crores, which is 3,100 rupees a day. So really what we are looking at is, it's a very simple number, that if we get to 3,100 rupees a day, which is roughly 60% of what we were in pre-COVID, then we will be PBT break-even. So that's the bottom line of for the company.
Just very quickly, my last question was that just looking at one of the competitor brands, which is maybe positioned in a partially similar category, they reported a 60% kind of recovery. Where I'm coming from is, say, based on the data set that you must be having from the other hotel providers, are you getting any sense of market share movement that you may want to highlight? And I'll be done.
Yeah, so two points. One is that, you know, as a, if you look at our share of the market last year, we had a disproportionately large share to our normal share because we got a whole bunch of bookings. So really the way to look at it is performance from Q4 to Q1. And if you note, everybody fell by 55-odd%. And of course, expenses fell differently. Some only fell by 10%. We fell by close to 40%. So looking at individual competitors, I would not like to comment on. And I think the one you are referring to is one step below us, or actually two steps below us. So that's a different market segment. Okay, that's like the slightly superior to the guest house segment. And we really don't operate in that. So what I would like you to look at is relative performance Q4 to Q1 for all, if you are looking at a comparative.
Absolutely. Sure, Mr. Keswani. Thank you so much. I'll come back.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Chattopadhyay from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for the opportunity. Just to follow up on the previous question, if I heard you correctly, you were saying that our Q2 revenues would be in line with our Q4 FY21. Is that correct?
That's right. It will be more than double of Q1 and equal to Q4.
Okay. And sir, is this more a question of margins? So in which quarter would you see the full whatever our cost saving rationalization efforts which you have done since the onset of the pandemic, when will these get fully reflected in the margins? From which quarter do you think it will come through?
So if you heard me earlier, I said that PBT break-even happens at about 1.6 crores a day and cash break-even at 1.5 crores. We are currently at, well, in July, I think we did a little under 1 crore a day. In August, we are over 1 crore a day. So our expectation is that if things continue, then we will be maybe 95, 97, maybe, you know, between, say, 93 to 98 crores is revenue, or a little over a crore a day in this quarter. If that continues with what we understand with large corporates, which is about 20-25% of our business, which is still, you know, very muted, we reckon that Q3, we will be at about 1.25 to 1.3 crores a day. And if that trend continues and there is no major third wave, then we should be back to pre-COVID, which is 1.75 to 2 crores a day in Q4.
Okay. And sir, for second quarter, this would mean a similar 30% EBITDA margin similar to what we did in Q4, and I'm saying in the current quarter, Q2.
It might be a little higher, because there are some cost savings we implemented in Q1. If you remember, our costs dropped by about 36-37%, which we will continue to see in Q2.
Okay. And just to go, so in Q4, when assuming things get back to the pre-COVID times, so the margins would be in 36-37% range on a...
Late 40s.
Late 40s, is it? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
See, I've given you the numbers. I have said our OPEX today is 200 crores a year.
Yeah.
On a fully stable basis, assuming all services, all hotels operating, this will go up, and assuming, you know, a bunch of other things, this will go up maybe from 200 to 270, 280 crores. That's OPEX. Corporate expenses are 30 crores. They may go up to 45, 50. Interest is 180 crores. It will remain flat. Okay. Depreciation is 105. It will remain flat. Lease rentals. So let's not get to non-cash. Let's get to cash only. OPEX 200, max going up to 270. Corporate expenses 300, going up to 30, going up to 45. Interest 180, 170, 180, remaining flat. Lease rentals, cash on a cash basis, will remain at 30 crores. Repayments are 105 crores for the next 2 years. So on a cash break-even basis, we break-even, including repayment of principal, at 545 crores, which may go up to about 650 crores. If we are fully operational with, you know, no cuts. On a PBT basis, it's roughly 25 crores more. So because PBT has to account for the lease rental depreciation and interest of 55 crores and depreciation of 105. Really, our PBT and cash break-even is somewhat similar at about 1.6 crores a day. On a fully stable basis, that will increase by about 25 lakhs a day. From 1.6 crores, it will go to 1.85. What I just wanted to tell you was, per room, this means a revenue of 3,100, going up on a fully stable basis to 3,650. We were averaging 4,600 in the last 3 months before COVID.
Okay. Okay. And sir, just last.
Because the whole point is that, and I think.
Sure, sir.
What has been missed out by many people is we had so many new hotels which we opened which were earning nothing in the 12 months before COVID, which are all now actually strangely getting a lot of traction, like Bombay, Pune, Udaipur, Kolkata, Dehradun, and so on.
Sure, sure, sure. Then just last, on the last quarter, Mumbai seems to have done an exceptionally high occupancy. Any specific reason for that?
No. Actually, based on what we are seeing in Mumbai, I am not happy. It is too little, in my opinion. We should be doing over 80%. And you will see by Q4, it will report far, far better numbers. Bombay went through a lot of lockdown. So that was the issue, really. And you are seeing performance in the middle of a lockdown. Imagine it was doing, I think, 76% in a lockdown quarter. So we are going full speed ahead even with our Mumbai International Hotel. We want to open it ASAP because the demand that we see is actually much more than we anticipated.
Okay. So what would be driving this demand? I just wondered that was actually the what I wanted to.
See, the two main cities in India are Bombay and Delhi. And if you have a hotel near the airport, like even our Delhi Airport hotel, so while we report Delhi NCR numbers, specifically Delhi, which is the one next to the airport where we have two hotels of about 500 rooms, are already doing 75% occupancy in the last one and a half months. So these airport hotels in the big cities, the entry cities into India, traditionally are the, let's put it, the most demand-dense markets in India because they have very high barriers to entry. It's very expensive to build a hotel here, very time-consuming. And it's because of that very reason, supply gets constrained.
Okay. Okay. Fine, sir. That was very helpful. That's it from my side, and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Lakhan from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for taking the question. Sir, you mentioned that by Q3 of this year, we plan to get back to our pre-COVID levels.
Not Q2, Q4.
Q4 of this year, sorry. So my sense is, what kind of ADR assumptions are you factoring in? Because the reason I'm asking is that even in Q4 of FY21, our ADRs were substantially lower. So firstly, what kind of ADR assumptions you're factoring in, and what are the drivers to that? Particularly, I want some insight from you on where do you see the corporate demand coming from and how soon and how fast that it can come from.
See, we normally, I think I've said this before, about 40% of our demand is retail. Retail demand can be very high-priced or very low-priced, depending on how the other demand segments are performing. So one is retail. Traditionally, retail is 1.2 times the average rate of the company because these are last-minute bookings, and typically, we are able to cream that market. The lowest rate segment is the large corporates, which is 20% of our business, which is currently close to zero, maybe 2-3, maybe it's now grown to 3-4%. Then there is 25%, which is SMEs, 5%, which is meetings incentives, and 10% foreigners. So the way I'm looking at it is the retail segment has now grown to, on a pre-COVID level, 1.25 times, which means it is on a pre-COVID level, it would be 50%. This pricing is increasing as we speak. So as I said, in Q2 versus Q1, our average rate is increased by close to 20% on a company average. Of course, occupancy has increased over 70%. So if you look at it from that perspective, with the hardening of demand, the price itself goes up. So hotel business is, as you know, like the airline business, double whammy. Higher demand, higher price, lower demand, lower price. The small, medium, micro enterprises demand has come back. Foreigners is zero. Meetings, incentives, conferences has come back. Large corporates are maybe 15% of what they were. That is, they may be 3 or 4%. So that is why we are still reporting occupancies of, say, 52, 53, 54% on a full inventory basis, instead of our traditional occupancies, which are 75 to 78. Now, conversations by our sales teams with the large corporates indicate, and this is an indication, that we will start resuming travel from September, October. So that has to play out. The numbers I have given you for Q2 are based on current. However, if the large corporates start traveling, you will find that with the increase in demand, there will be a significant increase in price. So that's the broad perspective. Now, if that continues and demand starts picking up, then our expectation is that by Q4, we will come back to broadly pre-COVID levels of revenue.
Sure, that's very helpful. So my second question was on the management contract pipeline that we share in our presentation. Now, if I do a comparison of that particular slide over the last 1 year or so, a lot of those hotels that expected opening dates have been pushed by, you know, like 1.5, 2 years or so.
Yeah.
You know? So what's the sense on, like, you know, the current opening rates that we've shared? I mean, is there in all likelihood that they can also get pushed? What's the sense you're getting from the owners of those hotels, or you know, what do you think, you know, if they can come through on the timelines that you have mentioned?
See, most of these owners are HNIs, mm-hmm. and for most of them, these hotels are not their mainline business.
Correct.
So really, they funded from their other business, let's put it this way, right? Mm-hmm. Now, what's happened is that there has been a major catastrophe for the small businesses in India, and a lot of them ran out of capital.
Mm-hmm.
So they were waiting for two things, and they are correlated. One is that their businesses started generating cash again. And that is, they moved out of survival, you know, mode. And number two, that demand would also pick up. So now that it is happening, I can tell you that most of these dates that we have given you are likely to materialize. But if you had asked me this 6 months ago or 9 months ago, I would have myself said that. And that's why, if you notice on slide 18, on the last line, we have said, these dates are the best case scenario, and as per the latest update from owners, and this is based on their lines of credit. So broadly, I think that what we have given you will, plus minus 2 months, at least for the next 500 rooms, play out, which is what is the rest to be done in this year, which is what we are opening our first franchise property in Dehradun, which should have opened in the next week. The first Aurika under management in Coorg, which should hopefully open in the next 2 months. And then, of course, a bunch of hotels in Neelkanth, in Mumbai, in Mussoorie, Sonmarg, Rishikesh, and so on. So broadly, they should all play out. There may be a delay of 1 or 2 months, but not a significant delay. Now, if you ask me for the second lot, which is the next 10, 12 hotels, there is more uncertainty. It is, of course, a function of what happens in the next 6 months. So I cannot give you the clarity definitely what will happen there. But interestingly, just to add on, there are another 10, 15 hotels that have now, which we are now in active discussions with, which are not mentioned here, which we are hopeful we'll be able to sign off in the next 6 months. So that pipeline will increase by another 700-800 rooms.
Sure. That's very helpful. So one last question from my side. So in our hotels in the development, we have, in the last 1 year, we haven't incurred much of capex, and understandably so. But we have about balanced capex now for close to about 600 crores odd. And we are looking at, like, say, the Aurika, the Mumbai Airport Hotel, to be operational by CY in 23. So shall we expect this 600 crores will get expensed over the next 1.5, 2 years?
Yeah. So how we are looking at it is we've done a cash analysis. Right now we are sitting on about 200 crores of cash, of which, right now, as of end of June. So my view is, when we discussed this in the board, was that our certainty on the Bombay market is getting, our feeling on the Bombay market is getting stronger and stronger. Okay? Now, Aurika, as it happens, while it requires 600 crores, for the next 12 months, it only requires about 90 crores. Because we have now finally come out of the basement. We have got the full approval for 669 rooms, which, as you know, will make it the largest hotel in India. We have also, we are just finishing the first floor. And we reckon we'll be able to finish the entire 10 floors of this building by about June next year. This will require about 80 crores. So once that is done, then the real expenditure of the additional 500 crores, which is really equipment, interiors, et cetera, will really apply from Q2 next year, which is a year from now. And by then, I'm pretty sure we will have full certainty, number one. Number two, I'm pretty sure that Lemon Tree will be generating a fairly large amount of cash to fund this. And as I have said before, we have only two objectives, which is to build out, from a capital side, to build out Aurika. And number two is write down our debt over the next 3 years, three and a half years. So that's our twin objective, by which time our hotels will be stable. We will have about 6,000 operating rooms. We hope we will have 7 or 8,000 rooms under management. And Lemon Tree will then become more, of a annuity kind of revenue, cash generating business, because the capex cycle will be over.
Would this funding of 500 crore also depend on equity infusion of 150 crores that we had originally envisaged?
No, think of it this way. What were we doing pre-COVID? We were doing 2.5 crores a day. I'll give you a number. It's an actual number. We were doing 2.5 crores of revenue a day because our assets had started stabilizing. So if we require on a cash break-even roughly 1.5 crores a day, on a PBT break-even, 1.5 crores a day, and we are generating 2.5, then effectively what I am saying is that besides writing down debt at the rate of 110 crores a year, we will have spare about 350, 400 crores a year, which should take care of Bombay and also take care of writing down our debt over the next three and a half years. Starting from, of course, Q4 and stabilization.
Got it. Got it. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants, if you have a question, please press star then one. The next question is from the line of Amandeep Singh from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, firstly, you mentioned about overall recovery, but can you help us with your thoughts with some of the few micro markets like Gurugram and Bangalore, which have been struggling? So can you give us some sense on how has been the uptake now for these micro markets?
So that's a very smart question. Here's the point. See, if you look at Lemon Tree's demand, which is say 4,000 rooms a day, because we typically do 78% occupancy, about 11% of this demand comes from the IT/ITES segment, which is about 440 rooms a day. Most of this demand is concentrated in Bangalore, in Whitefield and Electronic City, where we have a large number of hotels. We have 4 hotels and a certain amount from Gurgaon, though Gurgaon is a little more diversified. Gurgaon also has one problem, which is it is massively oversupplied. Okay, so here is a strange thing. Bangalore and Gurgaon are two markets today which A, saw the maximum injection of supply pre-COVID and had the largest dependence on IT. So this was a double whammy. In Bangalore, as you know, and in fact generally with the IT and ITES sector, there has been an enormous drop in demand. Okay. This is part of those large corporates, but it has been enormous. Whereas you can see significant increase in demand in segments like media, entertainment, financial services, pharma, now starting even auto. IT has not recovered yet. So this is 11% of our market, and today is giving us only about 10% of that, maybe 40 rooms a day. And that is why you will see Bangalore has suffered the most. Next is Gurgaon. Gurgaon has certain other segments, but as I said, because of oversupply, it's still being worked through. So if you ask me to give an assessment, I would say that Bangalore and Gurgaon will be the two markets that will recover last.
Sure, so that's really helpful. And secondly, could you help us with how would be with the cost efficiencies in place, how would be the current staff to room ratio, and now with increasing services coming back, what could be the sustainable number once the business normalizes? Any sense on that?
So we had 8,400 staff for 8,400 rooms pre-COVID. With attrition, et cetera, we are now operating with 5,300 staff. Our latest estimate on a full service basis, based on a bunch of stuff that we have done and that we are doing. So just as an aside, we are working with the Boston Consulting Group, who are doing a diagnostic on digital transformation for Lemon Tree Hotels. So what we are looking at is really two levels of digital transformation. I'm not talking about the routine stuff of digitizing operations. I'm talking about customer access, customer retention, revenue maximization. That's one bucket. And the second is, going in for as much productivity improvements through process change and through digitalization at the back end. Our broad estimate is that when this plays out, which is our strategy for the next 1 year, our staff to room ratio at the most will grow 2.75 per room, which is it will grow to about 6,000. So 2,300 staff will not be required in Lemon Tree on an apple-to-apple basis, which is one reason why our staff expenses, which typically account for 20% of our revenue, will drop by 30%. Similarly, we are doing a bunch of stuff under ESG. We are going heavily into renewable energy and green buildings and so on. We reckon that there will be another 30% saving in power and fuel, which typically accounts for 10% of our revenue. So if you add it all together, we expect a permanent reduction in revenue of about 18 to 20%. Or since our revenue used to account for 60% of our, since our expenses accounted for 60% of our revenue, we are pretty sure that our expenses on a revenue basis will drop by 10%, or the EBITDA margin will expand by 10%.
Also, that's pretty interesting and very much helpful. And so lastly, if I could squeeze one more. So whilst you mentioned that right now you're not looking out for any further CapEx expansion apart from Aurika and debt retirement, but can you help us with your thoughts if there are distressed acquisition opportunities that would be currently available in the market or over the next 6 to 8 months, or if you would be thinking about banking on such opportunities, then what would be the time for that?
We are very clear we don't want to spend money, but we are very happy to monetize our brand and talent. So we are in conversation with two very large distressed funds. One has said $100 million, one has said $200 million. Nothing is signed yet, but we have discussed in great detail that we would be happy to participate if they look at acquisition of assets, that we would be happy to brand and manage them. Of course, if that happens, then we are talking about a few thousand more rooms. Now, for this to happen, two things must happen. One is the assets must be available, and two, they must be available at the right price. So this is still playing out. I cannot make any definitive comment, but the two funds are very actively scanning the market. We are looking at what opportunities are there. We are participating. And I think I'll be able to give you more flavor in the next quarterly meeting.
Sure, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Archana Gude from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead. Archana.
Hello.
Yes, you may go ahead, ma'am.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. I have two questions. So can you just guide us through how our Aurika Udaipur is doing? How's the competitive intensity? Which Raffles has entered into Udaipur market. So has the intensity is increased or how is the market overall, let's say, next 2 years down the line?
So Aurika, let me give you an example. Aurika in July, we opened it. It did 3.3 crores of revenue, about 11 lakhs a day, and did operating EBITDA of 57%, which is whatever it is, 1.6 crores. And this is at half the price. So we really think Aurika, Aurika when it started stabilizing in the last quarter before COVID was at 18,000 rupees. So we did only 10,000 rupees this time. So my guess is that Aurika on a fully stable basis should be a hotel which is average at an average rate of 18 to 20,000 and above 75% occupancy. So that's my expectation for Aurika Udaipur. As far as Aurika Bombay goes, which is the 670-room hotel, our preliminary estimate is 11,000 rupees at 80%. And as I have said before, that will be a game changer for our company.
Mm-hmm. Sure, sir. So you said that, we do understand that corporate travel is yet to pick up. But maybe, whenever the next contract will come for the signing, is it fair to assume that maybe the now the things have changed and most of the, at least the consumption companies are seeing good growth in sales and everything. So maybe some kind of uptick in the contract pricing we should see whenever it will come for renewal or maybe since it is the first time after this lockdown, some kind of decline will be there.
I don't see a decline, but frankly, I don't see an increase either. Because my view is that you see what is not being factored in or played out yet is the enormous impairment in supply that will play out in the next 12 months. My view is, and you have seen it in some small way with some very large marquee hotels shutting down. And that's just the beginning. My view is that the real NPAs in this sector will start coming out in the next 6 to 9 months. I think I said this in my last call also, that in the next 12 months, you're going to see a lot of distress. Now, whether that distress plays out in a permanent impairment in supply or a 2, 3, 4 year impairment in supply, I have no idea. I think one predecessor of yours in this question line asked me, what is distress? There is a lot of distress. I know that. So how will this new supply demand dynamic play out? Now, on an aggregate basis in India, branded hotel demand has grown at 12% a year. That's an actual number of the last 10 years. Let's take 2 years of COVID out. It will bounce back, I have no doubt. Now, there may be a permanent impairment of 25% of demand of large corporates, which is 5-6%. But it will be more than compensated by the growth in retail and the normal growth every year. So I am very, very optimistic for the next calendar year onwards. And I think that it will really play out from October next year. You will see an enormous increase in prices in hotels across India. I would be ready to bet a bottle of nice wine with any of you if you're interested.
Sure.
Red wine, but.
Sure, sir. So thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Suman Kumar from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. So my question is related to the Aurika Udaipur. We have seen a 3.8% kind of occupancy. And we see all the leisure destination in India is doing good. So what was the key reason for that, of the lower occupancy?
See, I think one structural change that has happened is, interestingly, is that Indians are more ready to take holidays in India. Now, Aurika has one advantage, which is that it is in Udaipur, which is very close to Gujarat. There a lot of people like to travel and come out and, you know, have a good time from a state which has prohibition. So what we are seeing is actually nothing new. It has always been a very attractive destination. In fact, in the last 5 years, one of the reasons we looked at Udaipur was that it was clearly becoming a preferred choice for weddings, which, as you know, is a very large market in India. So there is nothing exceptional to what is happening in Aurika. We saw that pre-COVID too. We saw very high occupancies at very high rates. And I don't see that changing anytime soon. So, in fact, Udaipur to me today is perhaps a much more attractive tourist destination than even Goa. Because Goa has got so overbuilt and congested and so on that it's becoming much more mid-market, whereas Aurika has retained its upmarket and deluxe clientele. I don't know if that answers your question, but that's broadly my view on Aurika.
So, but can we say that Udaipur market is doing bad or we are doing bad?
We are doing very well compared to the market if we look at the STR report. So we are obviously positioned below the Taj. The Taj Lake Palace, let me give you a number. When we were just opened and we were operating, Taj Lake Palace was doing about 40,000 rupees ARR. Uday Vilas was doing 37,000. Leela was doing 29,000. We were doing about 18,000-19,000. Below that was, Trident at 11 and Taj Aravali also around the same price. And we were doing the same market share, that is the occupancy. So we are positioned there. As I said, it's an upper upscale hotel. It is so nice that, we managed to get one new contract on Aurika, as I said, in Coorg, on account of this hotel. And we are now in discussions for various more Aurikas across India. And I am quite pleased with our performance there, considering that we are a new hotel and a brand new brand. You know, it's not Taj or Oberoi or Leela. It's Aurika. But it's done very well.
So the next question is regarding other expenses. Other expenses in Q1 FY22 is increased by 40% compared to previous year, same quarter. But it is a similar level of Q2.
So that is basically on account of commissions to travel agents. Because in Q1 last year, there were no travel agents. It was, as I said, 90% of the business was non-traditional, quarantine and healthcare and whatnot. This year, because a very large amount was retail, we had to pay commissions to online travel agents, credit card commissions, other offline travel agent commissions and so on.
So when we compare with the Q2 FY21, the other expenses are on a similar level, while the revenue in Q2 is better than Q1. This quarter. So, other than commission, any other expense which is in variable in nature? Or fixed?
Yeah, so see, what we have tried to do is we have tried to variabilize our fixed costs. I think something we learned during COVID was, how do you variabilize fixed costs? So, traditionally, hotels, most of their costs were fixed. I think we have reasonably successfully managed to variabilize a lot of our costs. And when revenue goes up, so basically what I'm trying to say is if fixed costs were 70-75% of our total expenses pre-COVID, today it would be less than 50. So with a change in revenue, what you will find is the variable cost impact will obviously be more significant on a quarter-by-quarter basis, whereas the fixed costs will remain at that lower level.
Okay. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Agarwal from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. I just had one question, just a housekeeping question. What would be your gross debt number and net debt number for the quarter And
sorry, what would the? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. Could you repeat?
The gross debt number and the net debt number for the quarter.
So our gross debt is, if you look at Q1 FY22, it has gone up by 58 crores. 38 crores is the cash loss. 34 crores is the cash loss. We've invested 12 crores in Mumbai International Airport. We have 7 crores, which was our tax credit, which obviously leads, which we have not got, which will be realized later. So therefore, it is consumed as cash. And 5 crores is we made it a point that this quarter we would pay a lot of our operational creditors off because they were under distress. So instead of, you know, 30 or 60 days, we made it a point to pay them a little more. So that adds up to 58 crores. That's the change in our debt. 34 crores cash loss, 7 crores tax adjust, which will be adjusted in future. That's 41. 12 is MIAL, Mumbai International Investment. That's 53, and 5 crores more payment to OPEX in creditors. That's 58. And our closing cash, I think, was about 196 crores.
Okay. Sure, sir. And what would be the net debt to equity that we account of that?
So, let me ask you a different question. If I build a hotel 10 years ago and I build a hotel 2 years ago, my cost per room for the same hotel is more than double.
Right.
So my equity is 10 years old, 15 years old. My debt is 3 years old. So I would urge you to look at it the way a REIT looks at it in the US, which is book value has no meaning. It is the cost today. So the way I would look at Lemintree, and I keep repeating it, but somehow it doesn't, the message doesn't go through, is we have 5,200 rooms. The replacement cost per room today is a crore rupees, which is 5,200 crores. My debt is, gross debt is 18, net debt is 60. Take out close to 400 crores in MIAL, okay, which is a capital work in progress. That leaves 1,200 crores of debt. So on 5,200 rooms, I have 1,200 crores of debt, which is less than 25 lakhs a key.
Right.
And it's an appreciating asset. This is, I have not bought aircraft or taxis or cars which depreciate over time. My assets appreciate over time. So it's a very simple logic. If one room can support 25 lakhs of debt, okay, which means at 8%, 2 lakhs a year income, then I'm fine.
Thanks. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line now, S.N. Ranjan, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for a very enlightening talk. We get a good idea of the hotel industry as a whole. I just want to know, last time I think you had mentioned you're trying to reduce the dependence on online agents for bookings, and with our loyalty customer base of I think 1.5 lakhs or so, how does the figure stand now, and are you happy with it?
Okay, Mr. Ranjan, I'm happy to have an investor talking to me. So let me explain this. Our loyalty base is roughly 1.2 million people, which is quite engaged with us. They continue to give us roughly 35% of our business. Now, the way I look at online travel agents is very simple. To me, these are sales agents of the company to whom we pay a commission in order to get business into our company. Once a customer who has booked through a Make My Trip or a GoEbibo or a Booking.com comes to Lemintree, it is the job of that hotel then to convert that customer to book on a direct channel with us, which is obviously much cheaper. Now, if I look at success ratios, because these online travel agents continue to give benefits to them which we cannot match, which is like cashback and so on, our success is limited, but it is still about 50%. So our conversion rate is that if two guys come to us from an online travel agent, we will convert one to book on our website going forward.
That's fantastic. Very heartening to hear, sir.
Yeah, but this is a challenge, by the way, worldwide. One of the main reasons Marriott acquired Starwood for $12 billion was to acquire their loyalty program and to get greater traction in terms of being able to compete with online travel agents. But the reality is that while they are our partners, they are also not our partners. So we treat them like frenemies. Something like Swiggy and Zomato versus restaurants. And that's the reality of today. And my view is the only way to succeed for Lemon Tree is to control 30 to 40% of the mid-market. So currently we are at 17%. We will be 20% of the mid-market in 2 years. Our intent is to somehow get to 25,000 rooms in the next 5-6 years, which is managed rooms, in which case our ability to retain a customer and get them on our direct channels will be much, much stronger and larger. So it's basically a dominant play you have to make.
Perfect, sir. Thank you very much. Very, very, very helpful.
Yep, my pleasure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Achal Kumar from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. Thank you for taking my question. I'm extremely sorry I joined late. So I'm extremely sorry if you have already answered this question. But what I wanted to understand, first of all, is that how much of the business you had in Q1 last year related to COVID, so the quarantine, so the medical staff and all that facility. Did you have that kind of business in Q1 last year, and do you still have that business at this point of time? And if that is not the case, why there is a fall in ADRs quarter on quarter, since I believe that Q1 last year would have been quite bad? So what is the reason behind this 10% drop in ADRs year on year?
Okay, so I answered this earlier, but I'll repeat it. About 80 to 90%, I'm not clear, I don't remember the number, but the vast majority of our business last year was not our normal business, not traditional. So it was healthcare professionals, it was Vande Bharat, it was all kinds of quarantine business and business continuity planning. So this business typically was a fixed rate with very limited expenses. So we were lucky, we got a disproportionate share of it in India last year. This year, the traditional business was less than 20%. Non-traditional was less than 20%. 80% was retail. Now this retail business that we got this year, which is really traditional business, was on a very competitive basis, and these guys were only interested in price. So this quarter, Q1, was not really our actual customer, but customers who were looking for staycations or travel at a very low price, which is why, one, the ADR fell, because then we were competing with everybody. It was not, you know, a fixed business. And number two was that our expenses also went up, because these guys were staying for one or two nights. So we had to keep changing the linen. We had to keep refreshing the room. We needed more staff. They were ordering a lot of room service. Whereas in the previous quarter, the previous year, everybody was staying in their room. They were getting fixed meals. There was no change of linen. They were staying for 14 days. So that is why, A, the average rate fell, and B, the expenses went up. Another reason why expenses went up this quarter was because we were pretty sure that once this scare of COVID-2 would get over, there would be so we took a call actually, that the bounce back would be sudden and not gradual like was last year. So last year, if you look at Q1, Q2, Q3, Q2 was 20% more than Q1, and Q3 was, you know, 35% more than Q2. This year, we felt Q2 would be much stronger, and Q2 is in fact more than 100%, actually 120% higher than Q1. So we wanted to keep all our hotels open and ready. So these are a multiplicity of reasons why ADR went down, costs went up, and so on.
But sir, I mean, if I look at slide 15, it tells a slightly different story. I'm not sure if I'm reading it incorrectly, because on slide 15, the hotels which are more economic hotels, like Key Hotels, Red Fox Hotels, where ADR is low, there the occupancy level was quite low. So if you are saying the customers were more price-focused customers, then don't you think the occupancy level in these hotels should have been higher? I mean...
No, which slide are you talking about? Slide 15?
Slide 15, yeah.
Huh. So explain this. I'm interested in this.
So what I'm trying to say is that on slide 15, the occupancy level side, for example, Keys Hotels, Red Fox Hotels, the occupancy level was like quite low. While your Lemon Tree Premier, where the rates are higher, comparatively higher, the occupancy level was much better. So if the customers are more price-focused...
No, that's not correct. Because Lemon Tree Premier is in the cities where the demand was. So if you look at Keys, more than 50% of Keys was in Kerala, where, you know, the second wave was going on, and in Whitefield, Bangalore, and Hosur, which were the IT centers, where demand in and of itself was low. So when you talk Keys, really look at Bangalore as an example. Can you see Bangalore in the second last slide?
Yes, sir.
Look at the drop in demand in Bangalore. So, you know, when there is no demand, pricing is irrelevant. Where there was demand is where you see it play out in Lemon Tree Premier, where from 39%, 40% last year, we went up to 46% this year. But please note that that was accompanied by a big drop in price.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So that is the real answer. Because Keys is fundamentally in Trivandrum, Cochin, Whitefield and Electronic City. So these four cities, where 60% of their inventory is, went through hardly any occupancy. And strangely, Keys did well in Pune and in Ludhiana and in Vishakhapatnam.
Right, sir. Right. Fair enough. I got. I have two more questions, if you could please help. On slide 27, I mean, what exactly do you want to show in this slide? But this is the operational performance by aging. So, what exactly this slide tells you? Slide 27, please.
This was recommended to me by a very big investor in hotels in the U.S. I found that in India there is a tendency by analysts to look at hotels without considering when they open. Now, if you are a very high growth company with very large capex like Lemon Tree was, and then compare it to other companies also in the listed space who are not growing, then there is a tendency to get confused between, in a simple apple to apple comparison. So a new hotel, what is called an infant hotel, which is less than 1 year old, typically loses cash. Then it takes another 2 years, between 1 to 3 years, to stabilize. And really, the right comparison between hotels is when both are stable. So what we are trying to show here in this slide is, we are a high growth company. So if you look at this, please note that we had 11 hotels with 1,600 rooms, which were less than 1 year old. We had another 6 hotels. So if you look at that, FY20. In FY21, we had 13 hotels which were 1 to 3 years old in the middle of COVID, where we had deployed close to 2,000 crores of capital. And these were, they didn't have an opportunity to stabilize. So what we are trying to show you is, how do we perform when we stabilize hotels? So if you look at ROCEs, if you look at the second last slide, that in a normal year, an unstable, a brand new hotel gives 2%, 2 years later it gives 5%, then it gives 12%. So this is something I find in India people don't factor. The fact is that I have 2,000 crores of assets which gave no money. It is treated as debt on my books, it is treated as multiple things, but what I think people do not realize is that when they stabilize, they will add 300-400 crores of EBITDA to the company. And when they come to 12%, take a simple number, they are giving me 2%, they will give me 10% of 2,000 crores, and they'll give me 200 crores more. And that is, you add it to the pre-COVID EBITDA, which was 270 crores. So what am I saying? I'm saying we should be 500 crores EBITDA when everything is stable. Then I explained that indirectly by saying we will have 370 crores of cash and we will repay our principal of 110 crores, which means 500 crores.
No, but what I was not able to understand, sir, is that, say, for example, in adult hotels versus the toddler hotels, so you had FY20, so EBITDA per room in adult hotel was 6.9, and in total it was 5.5, and even the EBITDA margin was 44 in adult hotel versus 39 in total hotel. So this is slight different, but then still ROIC is a huge difference. I mean, so 12% is
reason, because new hotels have a higher cost. So let me give you an explanation. If you take my Bombay hotel, for when I built it, it took me 10 years to build it because that's the time you take to get approval. I got a 305 room hotel built in 325 crores at 1.1 crore a room. Okay, but the cost per room was much higher than the older hotels. So if you look at a hotel built 10 years ago, which cost me 40 lakhs a key, and compare it to a hotel built 2 years ago at 1 crore a key, and they are both earning the same EBITDA, obviously the ROIC will be different. ROC will be different.
Mm-hmm. Clear, sir. Understood.
Yeah, so what you have to really look at is when all hotels are stable. Don't you see, on one hand you want high growth, on the other hand you want higher return on capital. That can only happen when the hotel stabilizes.
Clear, sir. Clear. Understood. That's understood. My last question, my last question is, what sort of change are you noticing in terms of booking trends? I mean, at the moment, do you think passengers are booking for a longer duration stay? Do you think passengers are booking closer to the date when they want to stay? So what sort of changes are you noticing at this point of time?
A bad thing. Today, because everybody knows rooms are available, people are booking one day out or on the same day. Number two is they are booking for one or two nights, which means it's high cost. Remember, a guy staying for 3 days costs you less than a guy staying for one day. But this changes. So everything is amazing in this business. The minute there is a shortage of rooms, everybody realizes, mujhe kamra nahi milega kal. So they start booking, the booking cycle extends and they start booking a week or 2 weeks out. So let me give you an example. When there is a shortage of rooms, people book 30 days out. When there is an excess of rooms, people book one day or same. They also get a much lower price. So shortage means greater certainty in the booking cycle because you know many days in advance, much higher rate and much higher occupancy. And my broad point is that I think we will get there by next year.
Right. Perfect, sir. Thank you so much and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference back to the management for closing comments.
So thank you, everybody. Thank you also for many, many, many questions. My voice is hoarse. I noticed nobody took my bet up on the bottle of red wine. And I look forward to talking to you again after 3 months with hopefully even better news.
Thank you. On behalf of Lemon Tree Hotels Limited, we conclude today's conference. Thank you for joining. You may now disconnect your lines.